Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to Business Women Australia podcast, the podcast for ambitious women who are serious about business success and leadership development, keen to increase their knowledge and skills.
And welcome to another episode of Business Women Australia podcast. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, also known as the Podcasting Queen. Now, my guest today says we are not defined by our past or where we come from. What will define us is our ability to take responsibility for ourselves and our decisions. Joining me on today's show is Tracy Sofra. Tracy, she is an entrepreneur, a motivational speaker, and financial educator who spends her time sharing the knowledge, experience, and passion that she has for helping professional women achieve financial independence. She has over 25 years experience running two fast-paced businesses as an accountant as well as a financial planner. She's an expert in the area of wealth creation, leadership achievement, and fulfillment. And as a mum and business leader, she has walked a successful path for over two decades. She has proven methods and she knows what it takes to be successful at work and in life. Now, on today's show, Tracy is going to share, understand that you're not alone. She's going to share how we can challenge the status quo of how things have always been and present a new way of looking at our role as women, the three biggest problems women face when it comes to money, and so much more. And by the way, we are streaming live across a number of different platforms. So if something that Tracy says really sparks something in you and you have a question, by all means, please feel free to leave your question in the comment section and I will ask that of Tracy. So nothing better than to ask the expert. But welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
This is a topic that many women in business struggle with. You know, finances, it's very difficult to understand, things changing all of the time. I'd love to know what attracted you into getting into this industry.
That's an interesting question because it actually chose me. I didn't choose it. I started my life as an accountant 30 years ago. And I fell into accounting because, you know, you don't want to hear my past history, but I had depleted all options and accounting was staring me in the face and I thought, well, why not? And away we went. And funnily enough, a lot of my personal, traits are really in tune with accounting. So I think I made a good choice and accounting's been great to me. Absolutely brilliant career.
And as you know, in business, you know, we can have the best marketing strategies, we can have the best things in place to support us in growing our business, but as well as marketing and positioning, it's also important to be clear on our numbers. And, you know, our numbers tell a story, our numbers share with us whether we're doing well or not. And it's very difficult, I would imagine, from your point of view, when you're working with a woman in business, when they're not clear on how their business or even life to do with finances makes it difficult to make strategic decisions, yes?
Absolutely. Numbers don't lie, okay? And numbers are absolutes. They're not, you can't, let me put it this way, some things are qualitative. They can be, you can present them in different ways. Numbers are numbers and they are what they are. And it's, I would argue that if you don't know your numbers, you're running at a high risk of not being in business for long you've got to be all over your numbers. And these days, you've got to be ahead of your numbers. So, for example, back in the old days, we didn't have things like, I'm sure most people understand when they're doing their books and the numbers that they're doing, Xero is live, right? Xero is an accounting software. It's yes. live. It's in the cloud. We didn't have that 20, 30 years ago. So we would get past information. We'd load it onto the system and we'd present clients with figures that were 6 months old, you know. But now it's live and the world is going at such a fast pace.
Yes.
So when you're running your business, you've got to be all over your numbers. Mm. You've got to understand the very basics. No one's asking you to become an accountant or, you know, a professor in the field, but you've got to understand some basics and some KPIs, you know, key performance indicators, the things that will indicate to you immediately if alarm bells are going off, and then you make strategic decisions as a business person on what steps you need to take next. But if you're 6 months behind, that's not going to be a good result for you. So I would argue that numbers are incredibly important.
Yes, and drive everything else in your business. Now, one of the things that you're wanting to talk about initially is understand that you're not alone. One thing that I know and I've heard, and I'm sure you have as well, that often we don't like to disclose that we may not have an idea on what are all of these numbers on this page here that you're talking about. And when we realize, you know what, we're not alone, and it's not a stupid question. In fact, a question that's stupid is one that's not actually asked, hey, this doesn't make sense. So what are some insights around understanding that we're not alone?
Okay, so just on that, I find that obviously as humans, we don't like to be perceived as, oh gosh, you know, she doesn't know what she's talking about. 9 times out of 10, if you're asking the question that everyone's scared to ask, everybody else is asking the same question, but no one's got the courage to come forward. So that's a great thing to ask. And I always say to clients, there's no such thing as a stupid question, because if you're not clear, then that's not a stupid question. You need to be absolutely clear in your mind that you've understood what's going on. You're not alone, because everybody else has the same thing. It's not something, it's a skill that's taught. It's not something that we innately just know, yeah? And another thing that doesn't help with the communication part of numbers is I personally find that it's not communicated in a clear and concise way, in a simple way. So if you can communicate the numbers, and let me just give you an example. So if you're sitting, let me be the accountant here, right? Okay. So you've come in and I've gone, Anne-Marie, you've had a fantastic year, and I've put your P&L, profit and loss. Simply profit and loss is simply this. For a period of time, and we always do financial year, so it's July 1 to 30 June the next year. That's it, those 12 months. And a profit and loss is a snapshot of that period alone, and that's it. And it will tell you what you made, your income, less all the expenses you incurred to make that income, and the difference between the two is your profit. That's it, basically. So, but then, you know, in amongst those, depending on the industry you're in, will depend on how we interpret those. So it's really, really important to keep things simple, to be able to express them in a way, in examples that people understand.
Yes.
And not to overcomplicate things. I don't think it needs to be that complicated. And I found, and I find still, that there are so many people in my industry, be it accounting, be it financial planning, which is even worse, that they overcomplicate things so that people get this glazed look and they end up going, and you can see the glaze coming over and you're thinking, oh, my God, like, I haven't done my job. If that's the reaction I'm getting, I need to get them to calm and relax. So if they come in like that, your goal is to get them to do that.
Yes.
And let's just talk about it. Let's discuss the numbers that we're seeing in the real world, in your life, in your everyday life, that you're feeling, that you're experiencing when you're in your business, or whatever you're doing. So it really is about communicating that properly. And yes, we're not alone, because in all the programs and the courses I've done over the years, that's the first thing I get from the women that come into the room. Yeah. They go, oh, God, it's not just me.
Yeah.
Thank God. And there's comfort in that, isn't there?
Oh,
there's so much comfort in that.
There is. And one of the things that I love about what you're saying is that you're really committed to being able to explain something in a way that your client understands. And I think that really validates for us, if we're sitting across the table from you, if we don't understand something, is just to say, look, could you just back up a bit and just go over that again, explain that a little bit? I'm not sure what that means. We need to, don't we? If we're going to be able to make some key decisions, we need to be able to do that. But I want you to share with me, if you were, please, because sometimes what happens is when people actually realize what is possible, when we understand our figures and, you know, some of the scenarios in business, what does that allow us to achieve? And I remember thinking this, you know, myself back when I was learning maths in class. If my maths teacher had said to me, if you learn this, you can do this or this or this, and actually tie it to real world scenarios or even roles, I would have looked at, I don't know, trigonometry or whatever it was, through a very different lens. What's possible when we do understand our figures?
What's possible is that you are able to then make decisions about your future. So let me explain that in a little bit of a long-winded way, because I am an over-explainer, in case you haven't noticed. But your business is there to build your personal wealth. Two sides of the ledger, so to speak. Your business is there to create wealth for you on your personal side of the ledger. So you want to create efficiencies, you want to do the best job you can and make the most amount of money you can, and then feed the excess income out of there across to here and invest it in such ways that will then one day support your lifestyle when you stop working here. Because we can't work with our hands every day of our lives. At some point, we've got to stop. And if we haven't been able to extract that stuff from our business, which is 10 to 30% pay yourself first concept across to this side of the ledger, and then invest that in, you know, property, shares, all sorts of things, and create that growth over time, we cannot, when do we stop? When do we, you know, when do we get those assets that provide us with that income? Yes. So it then, when you understand the figures on this side, it then opens up the understanding on the other side of the ledger. Your personal wealth is what we're trying to build. And all of a sudden, you can get these pictures of what is possible. So a lot of the time, we see clients who are so busy in the do, not interpreting the figures, not understanding the figures, maybe too scared to ask, mm-hmm. and not having the ability to articulate those across to the other side of the ledger. So they're just, they're in the do. Are they making any money? Oh, I don't know. But you're working 80 hours a week. How can you not know if you're not making any money? What's the point? Mm-hmm. To me, it doesn't make sense. Busyness for the sake of busyness, but does that equate to where is the reward? So you need to be able to understand the numbers, and then that opens you up to be able to create bigger goals, greater goals, and understand how your business actually works so you can make better business decisions. And those business decisions can then make more money, and that can create better decisions on the other side of the ledger, which is your personal wealth. So it's kind of, it flows, it flows around, does a 360 all the way around. I hope I've explained that really well.
It does. And I think, you know, often, as you said, we do get stuck in the do. And as we know, as businesses get stuck in the doing, we don't necessarily get stuck in areas that take our focus off what could be very nicely, when you speak to your accountant, such as yourself, a process and a system that just accumulates, you know, that additional profits towards that. But also what it does too is, I'm sure that you may, when you look at your profit and loss, or even, you know, if some of us are service-based businesses, others are product-based businesses, you might analyze and say, well, did you know that you're spending 80% of your time working on products that only generate you 20% of your profit? If you flip that around and spent more time focusing on promoting the products that provide the highest return, those are the kind of things that we can identify, isn't it, once we know our figures and where everything is really sitting in our business.
Very easily. So in the profit and loss, that what you're talking about is getting the profit and loss and the one that has all the percentages down the side. So it'll take each expense and divide it by the income and tell you how much what percentage that expense is of your total income. So exactly what you said. Are you spending, are you overspending in areas you shouldn't be spending? Where are the areas you need to concentrate on? So, and we call them key performance indicators, things that we're looking for that are working and not working, and budget to actuals, those sorts of things. But being able to identify those things, and once you can identify those things, you can make decisions. How do you make decisions about your business and your future if you don't know the numbers and if you don't understand the numbers?
Yeah. I'd imagine that most businesses, when you have a look at various industries that they're in, as an accountant, you've got some indicators that, that may be generalized, but you've got some indicators that kind of measure to say, well, look, people in your industry, typically, if you're spending X percent in, say, the area of rent, I don't know, some areas, yep, and it seems relatively high, that could be an indication for you to go, well, let's have a look at that. Why is that so high? Is there ways that we can get that down? Again, numbers can enable you to do that. And if we're not tracking them, it's hard to do that. And I love the way that you've said too, that don't let your numbers take so long to start to analyze, because you can't shift and make it, you know, change if we are not keeping to, you know, up to date and on track with our numbers. And what we've experienced at the moment, you know, in the last several months with what's been going on, I think has really shown us how important it is to be able to track our numbers, everything in our business, because for some of us, we may need to change, we may need to pivot, we may need to alter what we're doing so that we can ride the wave. Now, I love how you're going to start talking about challenging the status quo. I love challenging status quo, how things have always been, and you'd like to present a new way of looking at our role as women. What insights can you share here?
Look, lots of insights. I believe in female sovereignty. I believe in what I call the future fit female. I think that women today are so confused, misplaced, not sure exactly where they fit in, and that creates a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress. And sometimes it's a lot of the time I'm finding it's almost crippling, where they're stuck and they don't know how to get unstuck.
Yes.
What I've found with the clients that I've been working with over the last 30 years is we have overcome every other obstacle. It's the 21st century and we can just about do whatever we want. Yeah. We can marry or not marry. We can have kids or not have kids. We can travel, we can work, we can live on our own, we can go out on our own as women. You know, we've got the type of freedom that only our grandmothers would, you know, couldn't dream about. Yeah, but when it comes to money, there's still that boundary, that almost type thing, generally speaking. And I believe it's the last frontier. I believe it's the last challenge that we need to overcome. And we can only overcome that by being responsible for ourselves and our future and stepping into that future. And I call that the future fit female. I call that the female that is so confident in themselves and in their ability to make decisions about themselves and their families that all of that is just gone. And I think that to have that peace within for women and to feel that sense of self-worth and to feel okay is the most liberating, you know, when I'm talking to you about it and I'm feeling it inside my own self, I just love it. And I want to be able to share that and I want to be able to pass that on in some way. And I do that through, you know, the toolbox, the skill set that I've got, which is my education piece. You know, I often wonder how I ended up here. And I'm guessing that, you know, I do a money program and I had my third session yesterday and we spoke exactly about this and we spoke about our why. And for so long, it was quite difficult to find, you know, it's not an easy thing to find. You know, why do you do what you do? We all know what we do and how we do it, but do we all know, I mean, I'm quoting Simon Sinek, if you've watched him, why do we do what we do? And so my bigger picture is that I see a world where women have, you know, social, economic, political and personal equality. I call it female sovereignty. I see that. That's what I strive for. And so in order to do that, if we unlock our financial confidence first, it has, and I've seen it, 1,000 times over, it unlocks your confidence. It's the key to to unlocking your confidence in life, and it has this ripple effect.
Yeah.
It's quite astounding to watch.
It is. And I know as you're saying that, I mean, it's across women who are working in corporate or working, or also shows up too if women, you know, start their own business, from charging what you're worth, you know, stating a fee, being able to negotiate, whether you're negotiating in an interview for a job or you're negotiating with a contract with a client. If we are not empowered and know what we're worth and, you know, be able to confidently share why that is so, then it becomes difficult, doesn't it? I mean, all of these areas can really be impacted by our relationship with money, how we do money and how that shows up. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. It all stems from that one place that then ripples throughout every other aspect of your life, be it your career, your relationships, your social interactions, your family. There all of a sudden becomes this, it's what you become throughout the journey. That's the interesting piece. And at the start, it all seems like it's all about the money, but it's actually not about the money at all. Money's just simply a means to an end. Mm-hmm. You know, money's not the thing. It's what does money represent to you? Money represents to me choice and freedom, the ability to live how I want. Yeah. And if that's the vision, well, let's face it, nothing comes without this. I mean, you can't have the things that you want. You can't live the life that you want without there is a commercial reality to these things, and this is what eludes most people. And I often get this barrier. I get, oh, well, money doesn't bring happiness. I disagree. I disagree.
Yeah.
Because if happiness is having the ability to live the way you want, if happiness is having the choice to be able to give to your kids, your family, look after your mum and dad, to not have the financial stress, and if money gives you that, then isn't that happiness? Mm-hmm. So it really is about making sure we're shifting the way we're looking at it, and stop using that as an excuse.
Yeah,
stop
absolutely.
Using all of these excuses over the years, women saying these things, stopping themselves from taking charge.
Yeah. Oh, I don't manage that. You know, my spouse manages that for me.
I get it all the time.
Unfortunately, and you may be able to share a little bit more light on this, but something that I heard, and it really alarmed me, that one of the growing homelessness, the rate of homelessness was for women over the age of 50.
Is that not scary? I'm over 50.
Because of that they haven't really thought about that, or they've relied on their spouse and all of a sudden something's happened and they've been left out. And very, very, very sad to hear. Let's talk about the three biggest problems women face when it comes to money, because I'm sure you're also going to be able to share some insights on how can we transform that so it doesn't become a problem for us. What are these three things?
The three biggest problems I have seen over the last 30 years, and I'm going to give them a title and then go into them a little bit.
Yeah.
Lack of self-worth. Lack of self-worth, that feeling of I'm not good enough, the imposter syndrome that goes on, there's a level of shame, there's that feeling stuck. We're talking about some deep psychological stuff. This goes way deeper than my skill set. But you know what? I'm a woman. I'm a mum. I'm 55. I've got life experience. I've got client experience. And I think I'm well equipped to talk about all of this. And I see it over and over again where women will hold themselves back from investing in themselves, but they won't hold back on spending on their kids or anything else. But they're always the last one in line. And for some strange reason, they don't think they're good enough or worthy enough, or I can wait, I'm the last in line. Well, I don't agree. And that's where I'm challenging the status quo as well as part of this.
Yeah.
Because I think if you do not invest in yourself, if you do not step forward, if you do not evolve in the way that you want to evolve, you cannot be everything you want to everyone around you.
Yes.
You cannot give back to the people that you love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? I think as women too, as mothers and role models, what are we role modeling in that behavior where we're not also investing in ourselves. And it is an investment, because if we can learn new tools and learn different ways of doing things, we're role modeling to those close to us that learning is important and that you can continue to grow. And we hear that all the time, don't we? Where sadly, and what's that analogy where, you know, we hear if you're on a plane and it's starting to go down, or, you know, the flight kind of shudders and the oxygen masks come, yeah, put it on yourself first, because you're no good to anyone if you're not looking after yourself first. And this comes beautifully, relates to what you talked about, you know, here as well, self-worth.
And I always say, I have a daughter, she's 16, I have a son who's 12. And here's one thing that I realized, or maybe kind of it was more obvious to me, they're watching us.
Yes.
Make no mistake, our kids, our nieces, our nephews, even our husbands, our colleagues, everyone around us is watching us. And we do, as individuals, we are incredibly powerful as individuals. We don't think we are, but we are incredibly powerful, because everything we do has a ripple effect with the people around us. I mean, the simple act of walking in a room, have you ever walked in a room and you've gone in like this, and what do you get back? Yeah, you walk in a room, you go, hi, how are you going? Everyone goes, oh, great, Trace, we're all good. I mean, it's that simple thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I love that, and I love that I know that. So I always check in to know that what I'm exhibiting, how I'm showing up, what I'm doing, my kids are watching, my husband's watching, my colleagues are watching, and hopefully I'm giving them something where I'm inspiring them and they're going, well, I like what she's doing. Like that. That makes me feel good. I might, you know, I find that incredibly, I don't know, I love that sort of stuff. I love that we all have that that power to be able to help others without directly helping them, if that makes sense, by doing that stuff.
Yeah, because what we say and what we do, if they're mismatched, our actions, that's as I say, actions speak louder than words, is a reason why that saying is something that we say. Now, one of the things, and I'm going to ask you what the second biggest problem women face is, and I just want to reiterate to people that often when people think about money, as you said, it goes far deeper to this. It's what's the underlying belief around that and value around that. And one of my mentors shared with me years and years and years ago, and you'll love this, and this might be something that you say to your clients too, how we do money is often how we do everything. So if money is an issue in our life, the way that we manage it or mismanage it or just want to ignore it, where are the other areas that you're ignoring in your life too? And often we find that money and time are synonymous in itself. And if you're often running out of money, you can often run out of time too, because you're putting other people, you know, ahead of yourself and your own needs all the time too. So love this conversation. We've got Chiru here saying, this is making so much sense. Thank you. Glad that you can be here. Mindset plays such a big role. So fantastic. So what is the second biggest problem women face when it comes to money?
So lack of knowledge. They either have a little knowledge but they don't trust it, or they don't have a lot of knowledge. This lack of knowledge around financial stuff. And let me go back to that. The reason they have that is because my industry causes a lot of that, I think. Yeah. Honest to God, they do. It's overcomplicated. So the media does a lot of that. The financial planning industry does a lot of that. So they have this thing of, what if I get it wrong? I'm not really good with numbers. Bob's got that covered. They constantly second guessing themselves because they don't think they have the knowledge, mm-hmm, and they feel stuck and they don't know how to get unstuck. Mm-hmm. So this lack of knowledge has this, you know, multi-level perpetuating kind of thing that goes on. So lack of knowledge is the second biggest problem that they have. And yes, just one thing on the lack of self-worth and the money piece you were talking about, that also has another level where it's either cultural, there's cultural factors in there, there's religious factors in there, there's social factors in there. It is so multi-leveled. And, you know, I obviously go through all of this sort of stuff in the mindset piece that I talk about, which is incredibly powerful. But yeah, so second problem, lack of knowledge.
And I love the way that really goes full circle to what you were saying earlier when we were chatting, is that you need to ask, you need to not be scared or afraid. I remember one time I asked one of my colleagues who was a bookkeeper, you know, what does EBIT mean again? And she kind of, you know, kind of rolled her eyes. And I thought, nah, I just need to know, you know, what is that? Because all of these acronyms, ask. And it is interesting because a number of people, yeah, I'm so glad you asked that. It's true. No one wants to ask because they don't want to seem like, hey, I don't know that. But as soon as someone does, they go, I'm glad you asked that. I was a bit too embarrassed.
See, it's not just you.
Exactly. And that's what you said. Understand that you're not alone. Someone is sitting there waiting for someone to ask the question, you know, to have that.
Who's
courage.
Got the guts to ask? I was a prolific, you know, they used to hate me in class at uni in the tutes because I'd be like, and they'd all want to get out of there. And I'd go, oh, excuse me, can you just tell me about that again?
Yeah. Isn't it? If we don't know, ask. What is this figure? And maybe too, when we're starting off, is to ask our accountant, what are the figures that I do need to know about? What are the areas? And this is interesting that you mentioned earlier how often it's because of the industry itself. And if your accountant is not taking the time to explain something to you, if you ask and makes you feel, you know, less than, maybe it's a good time to get another accountant.
Absolutely.
So what do I need to know? This is something that is very new to me, but I do want to learn. What do I have to keep an eye out for? And can we build on my knowledge for me as we're working through that? Makes it easier at the end of the day for you as the accountant, doesn't it? If your client is far more savvy and knows and actually knows when to reach out, you say, hey, this is happening. Can we have a chat before, you know, it hits the fan and all of a sudden you've got this box of paperwork and you're thinking, oh, my goodness, if you had have contacted me a few months ago, we could be in a very different scenario now. So,
look, not all accountants and financial planners are created equal. I will tell you that. I get so many stories, particularly from women, that tell me this, and it still happens in this day and age. And I couldn't believe it. I was blown away by somebody, a new client that came to me that said, when this new advisor had come in because the older one had retired, he literally sat back in his chair and went like this, put his leg up, which is incredibly rude. Can't believe he did that to start with. But anyway, and basically looked at her and said, oh, well, what can I do? How can I help you? And I was blown away by this. So, look, forget all that. Here's what you need to be looking for. An accountant shouldn't just be lodging a tax return. That's compliance. That's not advice. Yeah? So there's going to be a time where you won't need an accountant for that anymore because technology is going so fast-paced that that'll just be something, bang, that Xero will be able to do for you or some software. So don't worry about that. An accountant is there to help you identify the numbers, to help you interpret the numbers. And an accountant should be like your business advisor, someone you should be – they should be coaching and mentoring you through your business and to interpret the figures and go, right, well, what should be our next lot of steps? What should we be doing? Because lodging a tax return is compliance, means nothing, yeah? And if you're asking
– yeah, one thing, this is a good – that I'm glad you're asking answering these questions. If someone is thinking about, you know what, I need to be – because now as we know, I mean, all businesses Australia-wide and even, you know, globally are struggling and that they have to revisit their figures and so forth. So in a perfect ideal world, if you were sitting in front of a client that you really wanted to support as far as advice and making sure everything's clear and ensuring that your client is as informed as need be to make solid decisions, would you say a good schedule in your diaries to connect with your accountant maybe once a quarter, half yearly to go, well, let's have a look at the forecast. Where are we? What things do we need to change moving forward? What's the best case scenario?
Absolutely. It depends on what you're looking for, but at the very least, quarterly would be the way to go in this fast-paced environment, without a doubt. And it depends on your business too. I mean, we do business coaching and mentoring here where we meet with them monthly. It depends what the client wants. Monthly is great because there's not a lot of time between each session where you can make sure if anything's gone wrong, you can get on top of it straight away. So you've got to be able to be agile and move very quickly, but your accountant should provide that value add. If you're just going in there and they're lodging your tax return, you need to go somewhere else.
These meetings may not necessarily be long meetings. It may be half an hour, three quarters of an hour, just checking in things, and that you might say, hey, by the way, this and this, just be mindful of that. Or, hey, this is going really well. I would be doubling down on that this quarter or this month or something like that. So really great.
But you know what's also good about those meetings? What's great about those meetings as a business person to be able to remove yourself from your business, go to the accountant's office, physically remove yourself, go sit, talk to someone else, look at the numbers, and you know what happens? All this creative stuff comes out of your head.
Yeah.
That when you're in the do, in the trenches doing, you can't get creative time when you're in the do. You've got to get out of the do to create.
Yeah.
So that opportunity, you shouldn't rob yourself of that opportunity, because that is where you can get clarity, you can get that objective point of view, you can remove yourself from your business, and you get to just talk about it. And a lot of the time when the stuff comes out of your mouth, all of a sudden you go, oh, my God, yeah, I didn't think of that. But when you get to talk to someone, these things come out that you didn't necessarily know yourself. So it's incredibly valuable.
Yeah, love that. And I think we've got one biggest problem that women face when it comes to what's the third one?
You guessed it, lack of time. So lack of time. And this, what does lack of time mean? Well, you know, we are doing everything, right? So we, other than being, and as women, I mean, innately, and I am generalizing, but innately it's our nature to look after everyone else before ourselves. Got to try and beat that out of ourselves, but we innately do that. And you know, statistics show that women who are working are still doing more than 60% of the domestic work at home. So we're carrying a lot. There's a lot going on. I mean, we are carrying a lot, yeah? So we are multitasking to the max. I mean, the overwhelm, the to-do list, the stress. Oh, and you want me to look at my figures too? Are you kidding me? It's like, hang on, I've got Johnny's lunch and da-da-da-da-da. Like, I get it. I'm a mum of two kids. I run my business and I love what I do. I mean, I would do this 24/7 if I could, but I've got a family to look after. So I get it. This lack of time is not a good thing. It's one of our biggest problems. But what we've got to do is acknowledge it, and we've got to step back from it. And we've got to learn to let go of some stuff.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, if it's not that important, it can wait. Can it be outsourced? So I've got this great thing that says, can we automate it? Can we eliminate it? Or can we, you know, what can we do? What can you do? Does it need to be done at all?
Yes.
Or can you eliminate it? Like, can you eliminate it? Can you automate it? What can you do with it? Or can you outsource it?
So important. So, if we're still doing 70% of the housework, well, guess what? Look at your figures, put some budget aside, and hire a housekeeper.
Oh, without a doubt. You need help. And it's okay. Here's the other blockage. The self-worth then comes in and goes, oh, I couldn't do that. See, that's a self-worth piece talking to the time piece going, I'm not really good enough. I can't possibly do that. Yes, you can.
Yeah,
yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes. Allow yourself to do it.
We could hire a housekeeper, but they're just not allowed into our properties yet. But, you know, I mean, seriously, when you look at that, I mean, if we're so exhausted, we're not going to be the best in any of our areas of life, for our children, for, you know, our spouses, for our clients, for ourselves. And so I think when we start to invest in ourselves and hire support, you know, delegate and so forth, you know what? We're also contributing to the economy, because it means we're hiring someone else. That's their area of expertise. That's how they generate an income, and that's how the world goes round. That's how I. So it's got nothing to do with self-worth. You're actually contributing to someone else's economic.
And here's how I think about it all the time. If you're great at what you do and you're making money at this high end, you're going to make more money by outsourcing to somebody else that you can pay $30 an hour to do the housekeeping and you're making $250 an hour, whatever you make up here. Like, you've got to shift your mindset. You've got to stop thinking small and start opening up your mind to what's possible and stop holding yourself back.
Yes.
Just stop that.
You're speaking my language.
Yeah.
We've covered so much today, and I think we've just only scratched the surface. But this is something that for many of us, if we are recognizing that, you know what, this has been an issue for me and I've realized that I've hung on to too much, I'm not able to grow my business because I'm doing too much of the tasks that I really need to outsource or automate, you know, or as you said, delegate and outsource. What would be the best way for people to connect with you if they've heard you, Tracy, and they think, you know what, I really need support in this? What's the best way for them to connect?
Well, they can email me direct if they like, which is always easy to do. I'm also on Facebook, so they can message me direct there. Either way works.
Fabulous, fabulous. And I know for this particular live, we are also streaming across different platforms, and Tracy will be tagging herself in this. So you'll certainly be able to reach out to those platforms as well. Look, thank you once again for coming on the show. We have absolutely loved our conversation, Tracy. And if this is the first time you are joining us and you want to know more about Business Women Australia, then just go to businesswomenaustralia.com, an incredible community of women leaders and business owners, and we would love for you to join our network somewhere in Australia. We've got outlets all across Australia. So once again, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks, Anne-Marie.